This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
My God is awesome. He can move. Strength where I am weaker.
you, O God, for this day. We thank you for being God and God all by yourself. How great you are. How mighty you are. How faithful you are. How strong and mighty you are. Lord, we honor you and we reverence you today. We bless your holy name. What a privilege it is just to be your child, to be your creation, to receive your grace and mercy that is abundant to us all. Lord, we hadn't always done right, hadn't always said the right things, hadn't always gone to the right places. Yet you've still been our God, and we thank you, O God. Lord, it's another day's journey, and we're glad about it. You didn't have to let us live. You didn't have to let us live. And we're glad to be in service one more time. Bless you, O God. Lord, we praise you with everything in our hearts. And we need you, O God. We need your touch. We need your help. We need your healing. We need strength. And we know that we can come to you and find all that we need. And so, Father, I lift these, my brothers and sisters, under the sound of my voice, I lift them to you, O God. You know what they have need of. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will meet that need in the name of Jesus. Whether it be healing, whether it be financial, whether it be mental, whether it be when it comes to heartbreak, whatever the issue may be, O God, I pray today, Father, by your Holy Spirit, that you will bless, restore, rejuvenate, recover, strengthen, O God, these your children, as they will give you the glory, not when you do it, but give you glory already. Amen. In anticipation of what you shall do. Amen. Lord, we praise you today. We thank you for just life, health, and strength. We don't have a sad story to tell. Father, we just thank you for being God all by yourself. Other powers try to rise up. Other principalities try to go to work. But we still testify that you are our God. And we're going to love you and going to serve you with our whole heart. Lord, we pray now that you will prepare us to hear your word and that you will preach your word to us however you see fit to do it. I yield myself to you now, God, asking you to have your way. Through your Holy Spirit, God, through your talk and shared word today. Father, my prayer is that someone will be blessed, someone will be saved, someone might be encouraged, someone may be lifted by your word today. Father, let us see you in your word. Let us feel you. Let us experience you through this encounter with you. Thank you, O God, for what you're doing even right now. Thank you for the doors that you're opening. Thank you for the waves that you're making. Thank you, O God, for strength that you're giving. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you, O God, for the spirit that is resting upon someone right now. Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God. Thank you for power. Thank you for power that you've given us even right now. We bless you and we praise you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, good morning to you all, saints of God. What a blessing it is to be amongst the living in the land of the dying. We thank God for another day that he has blessed us. It's the first Sunday morning in the month of July, and God has now allowed us and prospered us to make it to the second half of this year. And we give God praise. It's another day's journey, and we are indeed glad about it. Amen. Amen. We praise God for this day. To all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we greet you in divine love. We pray that God is blessing you. We pray that you are being safe, that you are prospering, even right now where you may be sitting, standing, wherever you may be. We thank God for his presence in your life, and thank God for your presence in this world. Amen. I wanted to make an announcement to you before we get into the word. I want to get all those things out of the way before so we can go into the word. I want to let you know that we're making some renovations to our edifice, to our sanctuary. We're excited about what God has allowed us to do in this ministry, to bring about some changes, to enhance ministry in different ways, and we thank God for that. We want to allow you the opportunity to partner with us and share with us as we will be purchasing chairs for our sanctuary. We will not have the traditional pews. We will be having chairs. And so we want to offer you this opportunity to take part in purchasing a chair for our sanctuary. If to purchase for one, it'll be $35. If you want to purchase two, it would be $70. And if you wanted to purchase three chairs, it would be $100. So we, if you feel so led to do so, you can give through our various ways of giving in our ministry. You're welcome to do so whenever, just, or you want to contact us at the church, 318-628-6166, and someone will get back with you if you have further information about that. Amen. We thank God for He's allowing us to do, to grow our ministry and to take ministry to the next level. And we're excited about what God is doing. Amen. Amen. Also, I was notified that one of our very own in our community, Sister Kayla Dorsey, will be a contestant on Sunday's Best tonight on BET. I think it comes on at 7 p.m. And so tune in and support our sister in Christ as she goes to recognize her dream. And so we want to support her and give her the support we can and pray for her and pray with her in this endeavor. Amen. Amen. And then the third announcement I had is God is good. Amen. God is awesome. God is wonderful. We thank Him for being who He is. Glory to the Most High God. Amen. Are y'all doing all right this morning? I can tell by looking at you way out there in Facebook land that you're doing good on this morning. Amen. There was a word we've been led to share with you today from the Word of God. If you have your Bible or your app, you scroll or turn with us to the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. The Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah, chapter number 41. Isaiah chapter number 41. And there the Holy Spirit has guided us to share and lift the word prayerfully for the blessing of His people. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 41, commencing at verse number 10. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation of God's Holy Word, but it's still God's Holy Word. Isaiah chapter 41, commencing at verse number 10, the scripture should read thusly, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." That's enough. We'll stop right there. Blessed are those who read, hear, and apply God's holy word. For a few moments today, I want to tag this text, "Whatever you do, don't panic." Glory to God. God bless you today. Whatever you do, don't panic. I believe it was the English writer Charles Dickens, in his writing, A Tale of Two Cities, he gave this quote to begin it. He said it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. He said this to describe the different outlook between Paris and London concerning the French Revolution. Dickens argued, he argued in his particular writing, that for some people, it was a good time. For some people, it was a difficult time. Both of them are dealing with the same stuff, but their perspective on it is totally different. The rich are getting richer. The poor seem to be getting poorer. The happy are getting happier. And the sad seem to be getting sadder. Seems that the foolish people got even more foolish. And the wise got even wiser. And so Dickens said that this was the best of times and the worst of times. And if you look into the world we're living in today, it would appear as though we can echo those same sentiments, that it's the best of times for some, and for some of us, it's the worst of times. Here you are as a child of God, or preparing to be a child of God, and you are seeing your life in shambles almost. Yet you're living in the same community or same city or same country, and others who are living amongst you seem to have not a care in the world. They seem to be living and going about their daily business, not really concerned with who's hurt, not concerned with what's going on, not concerned with the intensity of the day. They're not concerned with the moment they're in. They're just getting happier and happier. They seem to be doing all right. And it seems that many of us who are attempting, it's a trick of the enemy, that many of us who are attempting to do the right thing just can't get our footing. It appears that those who just trying to live right just can't just continue to be attacked. It appears that the more you go to work, you don't find anything kind of provision. You don't find any kind of prosperity. It seems like the more vegetables you eat, The more you exercise, the more you try to take a walk in the morning, the more you do your breathing exercises, you keep feeling worse and worse. If it's not one thing, it's another. It appears as though when it rains, it pours. And some of us, if the truth be told today, we're preparing to press that panic button. That panic button lets us know I'm jumping ship. That panic button says I have no more fight in me. That panic button says I need some help with this because I'm about to lose my mind. If I push that panic button, I give up on prayer. If I push that panic button, I give up on the word. When I push that panic button, I give up on people. When I push that panic button, I'm going to go off somewhere, maybe with a gun, maybe with some drugs, and just end it all because I can't keep taking all this I'm taking. I'm talking to people this morning who are suffering in silence. You have gotten yourself into a frenzy. You've gotten yourself into a panic. To panic, my friends, means to have an unusual amount of fear and anxiety, so much so that it causes a wild, dangerous, self-destructive behavior. Have I got to your neighborhood yet? Panic, my friends, I want to say that again. Panic is an unusual amount of fear and anxiety, so much so that it causes destructive behavior and causes you to act in a wild manner. And I'll be honest with you today, brothers and sisters, I'm on the line between sanity and insanity. Oftentimes, brothers and sisters, I want to panic. There's so much going on. Fear wants to take over. Issues come about. People come against you. Principalities come upon your head, and stuff keeps going on. Sickness is all around us. Debt is all around us. I'm tired of going to funerals. I'm tired of seeing the reports. I'm tired of seeing people fight. I'm tired of being against one another. I'm tired of the heartbreak. I'm tired of the disappointment. I'm tired of the frustration. I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And the truth be told, for many of us today, we're ready to hit the panic button. Because you're realizing in yourself, and you're trying to keep a good head. I know who I'm talking to this morning. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody. That you're trying to walk with your head up. You're trying to do what people say and walk with your head up. But you feel right now that you might be living a lie, because what is there to smile about? What is there to be excited for? If I go and every time I take one step forward, I get knocked two steps backward. Every time I try to go right, somebody tries to make me go left. Every time I try to love somebody, somebody else comes to hate me. What is the point in even living life? And God's word to somebody today, I don't know who I'm talking to, before you take that next drug, before you fool with the wrong people, before you pull the trigger, God's word to somebody this morning, whatever you do, just don't panic. Give God a chance. God is still on his throne, my friends. God still loves you, my friend. And I want to testify to you on the first Sunday morning that there is still no better option than the Lord God himself. There is still no better way to go than to the presence of the Lord. I believe that prayer still works. I believe that God's word still works. I believe that there's something about worship and getting in the presence of God that maybe the situation doesn't change, but I change in the situation. I need you to believe today. I don't want you to give up today. I don't want you to get into a panic today. We'll do this together. Whatever you do, don't panic. Because panic will cause you to get in your feelings. Panic will cause you to make destructive decisions. Panic will cause you to go somewhere you ought not go. Panic will make you make decisions off instinct. Panic will make you jump off a cliff. But listen to me, y'all. When you panic, there is no tomorrow. You'll make decisions that you got to live with forever. And I want to talk to somebody this morning who's suffering in silence, who people don't know what's going on behind that smile. They don't know what's going on behind that job. They don't know how miserable you are. They don't know how frustrated you are. They don't know how depressed you are. God's word to you today, my friend, is do not panic. I don't care what you do. Cry if you need to do. Scream if you need to scream. Lay out if you need to lay out. But just don't panic, because if you panic, you'll give up on yourself. You're too close to your breakthrough. And such is the word God gives his people in Isaiah chapter 41. He gives this word to a group of exile captives, his people who have been living in exile, and now they're preparing to come back home. But on their way back home, before they go on their way back home, they are scared. They are panicking. They are frustrated because they're thinking about all they have experienced prior to the Lord speaking to them. They realize now that this exile, this captivity, was their own doing. For they disobeyed God. They did not go to God. They went after their own gods. They practiced idolatry. So it was on them why they were living like this. Yet and still, God gives a word to his people. And God says, when I get tired of you going through, I have a way of bringing you back home. That's a word for somebody. That every one of your problems today, y'all, if you don't hear nothing else I say this morning, you need to tell yourself this. I don't care if you tweet this. I don't care if you post this. But your trial, your trouble, your tragedy has an expiration date. Your trouble will not last always. I know you feel like, when is it going to be over with? When will my change come? When will my breakthrough come? I can't tell you when, but I can't point you to who. And God has an expiration date on every one of your problems, every one of your trials, every one of your situations. There is an expiration date to it. And when God gets tired of it, God knows how to stop it. Child of God, he talks to his children. He says, listen to me now. You had to go and suffer in captivity because of your own doing. But now it's time to come back home. And that's a word for somebody listening to me right now, that maybe what you're going through now is a clarion call to come on back home. You done been away from God for too long. You done been away from the word for far too long. You've been away from his peace for far too long. You can't find that in a bottle. You can't find that in a needle. You can't find it in a man. You can't find it in a woman. You can't find it in a job. You can't find it in a party. You can't find it in Black Lives Matter. You can't find it in All Lives Matter. You've got to find it in God. And God's word to many of us this morning is to come back home. But the problem is, we're panicking because we don't know what to expect. We've gone through so much before that we don't know what I'm going to have to deal with on my way back home. And so some of us have made up in our mind, I really am not going to trust God that much to go back home, because I'm dealing with too much hell now, I can't deal with any more hell. I'm talking to people this morning who feels like you're one disappointment away from losing your mind. I'm talking to somebody this morning who feels like if you just do one more thing to me, I just might hurt you. If you lie on me one more time, I just might fight back. If I hear one more negative report from Dr. Fauci, I'm just going to give up. If I hear one more negative word about the rising number of coronavirus, I just might give up. Who am I talking to today who's ready to give up on life because you can't deal with everything you're hearing? I know y'all, I know, I'm just like y'all. I'm frustrated because every time we turn around, it's something negative. It's something detrimental. It's something adverse that the body of Christ is facing. Can I mess you up a little further? Here's the other issue you got, that you hear that negative report. You feel this in your body. You're going to the doctor for some unexplained illness. You know you had money yesterday, and now today your bank account is just empty, and you're looking at other folk. If you're not careful, the human part of you, the natural part of you, you look at other folk who don't even think about God, who don't even promote God, who don't even pray to God, who don't care nothing about God, who will publicly denounce God, and they seem to be going all right. It's frustrating, y'all, when we're told, we're asked to wear a mask and be sure, not just for yourself, but for the protection of other people. And you see folk, y'all, running around, here we are again, all together partying like it ain't no tomorrow. We just going doing this stuff like it just don't matter. And then next thing you know, somebody gets sick, and now we want to talk about, oh, Lord. It makes you, if you're not careful, you're in a panicky place, because you don't know, y'all, the devil want to make us panic during this pandemic. Because you don't know where you going, and you don't know where the people around you, where they been. You don't know where they come from. You don't know who been around you. And if you're not careful, you'll be paranoid. Yet, how do I be paranoid and still practical? It's frustrating, y'all. If you're not careful, it'll cause you and I to panic. And so God offers a word of hope and comfort to his people. In Isaiah 41, just as he does to us the first Sunday in July, God's word is to all of us, whatever you do, don't panic. Listen to me, y'all. It's okay to cry. That's human reaction. That you're a human being. It's okay to be frustrated. Paul says, be angry, but sin not. It's not wrong to be angry, but you got to learn how to handle the anger. You got to learn how to be honest about what you're feeling, because if you don't be honest with it, it's going to cause you to be in a panic. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that many cemeteries are filled by people? Do you know that prisons are filled by people who got caught up in the moment? They are called crimes of passion because they got into a panic and then they reacted instead of responding. And God comes to a place to us today to give us the opportunity to respond and not react. God's word to you today, child of God, is that you do not have to panic. You do not have to go crazy. You do not have to lose your mind. The peace of God that passes all understanding is not just for Paul, but the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is for you and I. That you can have that same peace. You can have that same calm. You can have that same joy. You can have that same victory. You can have that same newness if you just learn not to panic. And here it is today. God gives his word to us. He says, how is it, preacher, that we don't need to panic? If I'm not going to panic, what's the big deal about not panicking? Why should I stay in the fight a little while longer? Why should I go back home? Why should I keep giving God glory? Why do I need to stay in the fight? Why do I need to stay on the ship? Here's God's word to us today. First of all, because you got a personal consolation. God says, don't panic today because you got a personal consolation. It's right there in the text in verse number 10. First part of verse number 10, Isaiah says, through God, from God, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Well, that's not good enough for you. Because why not be afraid? That's not good enough. You didn't get happy about that. You didn't get excited about that. You are afraid, but you don't want nobody telling you not to be afraid. But here's why you ought not be afraid, because it says, I'm with you. Lord have mercy. You ought to be excited today, y'all. You ought to be giving God glory somehow, some way, because everything you're dealing with, that is the reality. But the other part of the reality is you're not going through it by yourself. You might not have a whole lot of people around you. You may have lost some people. You may have lost some things. You may be going through some stuff, but I promise you, every child of God ought to be able to testify that you're not going through it by yourself. How do I know you're not going through it by yourself? Because if you were going through it by yourself, you'd have been lost your mind. If you were going through it by yourself, you'd have been jumped in the ditch. If you were going through it by yourself, you'd have been pulled the trigger. But because God is with you, his hand blocks some stuff. Because God is with you, his presence blocks some stuff. So take a few moments and thank God that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? Because thou art with me. That's your celebration today, child of God, that you're going through, but you're not going through by yourself. Tell God thank you, y'all, that you got God with you. You've got God with you. That he is with you. He is in this fight with you. That means that when he is permitting this to happen. Lord, thank you, Lord. That means that God, now you got to handle this, God never promised you a bump-free ride. Got quiet all on Facebook right there. God never promised you and I a bump-free ride. He never said everything was going to be smooth the way we wanted to be. What God promised us is, I'm with you. And doesn't it make you, isn't that refreshing? Isn't that blessed consolation? Does that not console your spirit? Does that not give you some assurance this morning that no matter what I'm going through, thank you, Spirit of God, that you are with me the whole time? You know what I love about the Lord? I love the fact that I hadn't always wanted him. I love the fact I ain't always called out to him. I love the fact sometimes I try to take matters into my own hands. And do you know, y'all, I'm going to be honest and tell you that those times I didn't want him, I didn't ask for him, I act like I didn't need him, I act like I was too good for him, he still never left me. Can't you thank God for about 2 seconds about a God who, even in a time when you try to leave him, he never leaves you. He still protects you. He still sends angels to watch over you all night long. You ain't even asked for the angels. He sends angels. You ain't asked for protection. He gives protection. You ain't asked for a new day. He gave you a new day. You didn't ask for mercy and grace, because some of us too crazy to ask for mercy and grace. So he said, goodness and mercy go follow you all the days of your life. Take a moment and tell God, thank you that you're with me. You are my, it is my personal consolation. Look why I'm with you. I'm with you. Don't be discouraged. Huh? Don't be discouraged. In other words, what he's saying, that the Hebrew etymology here, don't let what you see throw you off. You missed it. I understand that I'm with you, but the problem is your eyes ain't on me. Your eyes is on what's going on around you. And the problem many of us have, myself included from time to time, is that many times I put my eyes on not who's with me, I put my eyes on who's against me. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Don't let what you see jack you up. Don't let what you see mess you up. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord who's with you. You got personal consolation. Don't be afraid because I'm with you. Don't be discouraged because I'm your God. Watch this. Look at that. That's personal. Don't be afraid because I'm with you. Don't be discouraged because I'm your God. God puts it here like this. I know it looks like the idols are winning. You are discouraged this morning because you think the idol gods are winning. Because if you look at CNN, nobody talks about your God. You read Enterprise, nobody's talking about your God. You look on Facebook, nobody's talking about your God. And if you're not careful, you'll be discouraged because nobody's talking about your God. And if you're not really careful, you'll get yourself in a panic and you'll stop talking about your God. You'll stop trusting your God. You'll stop going to your God. You'll stop praying to your God. You'll stop worshiping your God. You'll stop praising your God. You'll stop telling other folk about your God. If you're not careful, discouragement can cause some disgust. Do you see it today, y'all? God says, I'm with you. I'm with you, but I'm also your God. Now, you can't appreciate this unless you don't have a true, personal, intimate relationship with God. And what anybody knows this, that true, really good relationships got to go through some stuff. Oh, y'all got quiet on me. We letting what we see mess us up. And because we go through a tough patch, it makes it seem like your God don't care nothing about you. Yeah, you're discouraged because the gods that people have made, it does what they want it to do. The gods of a job and the idol gods of career and the idol gods of popularity and the idol gods of prominence, they seem to be doing what their worshipers want them to do. You got a problem, though. The problem with that is they made their God. Your God made you. And you can't tell a God that made you what to do with what he made. And we get frustrated oftentimes with God because we worship him. He's our God, but he don't do what we want to do. And if he does it, he do it in a time I didn't want to do it. And we get frustrated with him because he don't come when I lay out sometime. Could it be? Watch this. God says, don't be afraid, I'm with you. I'm going to mess somebody up. Don't be afraid, I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, because I'm your God. While you're dealing with it, what else do you need to hear? If he's told you already, I'm with you. If he's told you already, I'm your God, you my child, what more do you need to get up and go back home? Why do you need him to tell you in 30 days? Why do you need him to tell you who to go marry? Why do you need him to tell you about when the storm gonna stop? If you don't trust him to be your God, it don't matter what else he say beyond that. So learn how to deal with elementary faith, then you can get to college faith. Stop asking for college level faith and you don't even have the basics of elementary faith. Because if you got elementary faith, you realize he's with you no matter where you go. And you understand he's your God no matter what happened or who come against you. But too many of us try to live in college with kindergarten understanding. What more does God need to tell you? Why do you need a fresh word and you ain't heard the first word? I'm with you. I'm your God. And we're letting, now we're letting folk who are on social media, these new prophets who just got Wi-Fi and got a hotspot, tell you about your walk with God. Telling you how you ought to live. telling you what you ought to care about, telling you what how you ought to live your life. Oh, but you got to remember, I'm with you, and I'm your God. That's personal assurance. That's a personal consolation. That helps you not panic when you realize, hey, I'm not in this thing by myself. It's tough. It's frustrating. It's difficult, but I'm not by myself. Second reason I'll not panic today, I got personal consolation. Secondly, this ought to bless you. Maybe you didn't get happy off the first point. I might get a few smiles on this point because now you realize you got a powerful collaboration. You understand that he's with you. That's good news. He's your God. That's good news. You're on his side. That's good news. He's on your side. That's good news. When you look at your uniform looks like his uniform. That means that you are on his side. But watch this now. He's not just a coach. He's a teammate. Good God Almighty. Look what he says in the text. For I will strengthen you and I will help you. Missed it. I will strengthen you and I will help you. That's the benefit of his presence. Because now that you got his presence, you also have his power. Good God Almighty. When you're in good relationship with God, you don't just get to shout off his presence, but every time the Lord show up, you got the opportunity to live with his power. That something gonna change, the atmosphere gonna shift, you gonna get better, you gonna get wiser because the Lord done showed up. Here it is, look at it. I will strengthen you and I will help you. Now, you're not gonna like this point. I gave you that, I thought you were gonna like it, but now that I think about it, you ain't. Because here's why. Because many of us are panicking right now. Here's why. Because the Lord says that my presence showing up in your life, I'm going to give you strength to sustain. I'm going to give you strength to keep on pushing. I'm going to help you as you move. I'm going to move by my spirit. I'm going to give you word. I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you encouragement as you move in your life. Here's why you don't like it. Because the Lord does not say, I'm going to fight for you. And somebody, listen to me right now, wants the Lord to do it. And for this battle, now, there was a battle that Jehoshaphat fought. The Lord told him when he sought the Lord, this battle's not yours, it's mine. But now, these are my people. They are maturing. I should have to fight every battle. They've been with me long enough now, they know I'm going to make a way. They've been with me long enough to know I will open doors. They've been with me long enough to know I will heal them. They've been with me long enough to know I will provide. So now, if you really want to be what he called you to be, you got to start doing some stuff. You got to start moving. You got to start fighting. You got to start standing. You got to start believing. You got to start speaking. You got to start sowing. He ain't going to do all the work no more. Some of us are in a panic. We're in a panic because we waiting on God to do something. And maybe today, y'all, just maybe, the Lord waiting on us. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then and if are two conditional conjunctions. It means that something got to happen for something else to happen. And we just want God to heal the land. Oh, I'm in trouble now. Heal the land, Lord. Heal the land. Heal us of the affliction. Heal us of the racism. Take it away, God, if. And watch this. He didn't just say if people. Ooh, if my people. Stop hiding. If my people start standing, if my people start unifying, if my people stop arguing on whose name gonna be on it, if my people stop arguing about who gonna get the credit, if my people start arguing about color, if my people stop arguing about who gonna pay for it, if my people who call by my name will humble themselves. That's before you even pray. Humble yourself. There it is. Now you can't be in a panic and be prideful. Now you got to pick one. You can't do both. You can't say, Lord, deliver me, and then he sent a boat, not that one.
God done sent you some help, but it wasn't who you wanted him to help. Didn't look like what you had in your mind the help was going to be. Lord, I want a mate. Send me a mate. Send me a mate, Lord, a husband who will take care of me and my kids and my family. He sent him, but he wasn't in the package you thought it was going to be in, because you had your mind on Idris Elba and Denzel Washington. And he might look more like Red Fox. And you weren't prepared, so now you say, no, I don't want that. I'm in trouble now. Yeah. You wanted Halle Berry, Gabrielle Union, God sent Jane Esther. Because it don't look like what you thought he was going to say. So now we mad. But God sent the help. We just turned away because you can't be panicky and prideful. And too many of us, ladies and gentlemen, are in a panic, but we're prideful. We want God to do it, but we got a way we want God to do it. You want God, you want to clown publicly. We want to get redeemed privately. You want to cut my throat publicly, but want God to forgive behind closed doors. You can't be panicky. That's the word to Winfield right there. You can't be panicky and prideful. Because too many of us are afraid to cry out and say, Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Y'all see it? He says, I will strengthen you and I will help you. That's a powerful collaboration. Because now me plus you is all right. All of us come together, it's all right. But see, I love y'all, but sometimes y'all love me. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you fool with me. Sometimes you won't fool with me. Sometimes you'll go up, and sometimes you'll take me down. So I can't depend on your strength. But this is what I learned about God, that me plus God can beat every last one of y'all. Me plus God can take care of all my enemies. Me plus God can take care of all my problems. Somebody tell God thank you, and just because he's with me, I already got the odds in my favor, because me plus God trumps everything. I will strengthen you. Man, ain't no power like when you and God hook up. Have you ever had somebody you thought you needed, and they didn't give you what you thought you needed, but then you mess around and talk to God, and he gave you everything you needed, because it's a powerful collaboration. Now watch this now. It's got to be a marriage between human responsibility and divine sovereignty. In other words, God's going to do his part. We got to do our part if we're going to do a collaboration. Here's what I love about God now, though, because in a sole proprietorship, in an entrepreneurship, the owner gets all the profits. But the problem with that is they got to also deal with the cost. That's why many people ask for partnership, because in a partnership, you get to share the cost. But the problem with a partnership is you also got to split and share the profit. Here's what God do with you, because God don't need a house. God don't need a car. God don't need a healing. God don't need a breakthrough. God don't need to be delivered. God don't need to be brought out. You do. So when you collaborate with God and get in a true partnership with God, here's what he does. He takes all the costs. You get all the profit. All you got to do is give him glory. All you got to do is keep loving him. All you got to do is keep praising him, and you will be able to enjoy the profit. There it is. There it is. No need to panic today. No need to panic, because listen, you got his personal consolation. There's no need to panic, even though we're having technical issues right now. No need to panic, because God is still in the midst. So we can still chill out, because the word's still going to go forth. Guess what? If the world can't hear it, the ones who hear it are going to take it out. See, we don't fall for what the devil's trying to do. Don't get yourself in a panic. Just let God do what he got to do. It's a reason God let it happen like that. Don't you get in the panic. Don't you miss what God is saying trying to get in the panic. Watch this. Watch this. Personal consolation. Then secondly, you got a powerful collaboration. And then last, there's no need to panic, because you got a promise confirmation. Look at it, y'all. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Lord have mercy. Y'all can't appreciate nothing. Watch this. The road gets tough sometimes. Sometimes it gets difficult in your life. Sometimes it gets frustrating. You get tired. You get weak. You just deal with so much in this life. Look at it. This is what God says. I know on this journey back home, you're going to get tired. I know on this journey headed back home, you might get weak. I know on this journey headed back home, you might get, it might be some difficult storms you encounter. But guess what God says? The moment I see you tripping, the moment I see you staggering, the moment I see you leaning off, I'm going to hold you up. Watch this. The enemy going to wonder, why is it you keep taking a licking and keep on ticking? It's not because I'm so strong. It's because he's holding me up. It's because his victorious right hand. The right hand means his authority. The right hand means his power. The right hand means his rightness. The right hand means his righteousness. And his righteousness will hold you up. His authority will hold you up. His integrity will hold you up. Because if you fail, he fails. And God is not a man that he should lie. So God already done got his name on you. He won't let you fail. Somebody will tell God today, it's not me, he's holding me up. It's not my name, he's holding me up. It's not my intelligence, he's holding me up. It's not my money, he's holding me up. It's not my street smarts, he's holding me up. It's not me knowing people, it's holding me up. He holding me up. Look here. You can't appreciate this today unless you really dig into the text more. The book of Isaiah is divided into two sections. Chapters 1 through 39 and 40 through 66. Two divisions of the book of Isaiah. So orchestratedly, beautifully, is this that the book of Isaiah is called a mini Bible. Because the Old Testament has 39 books. The New Testament has 27 books. The first 39 books, first 39 chapters of Isaiah, talks about the people of God's need for salvation. The last 27 books of Isaiah talk about God's grace and giving salvation. Here it is, the first 39 books, 39 chapters of Isaiah talk about people's need of redemption. And then the last 27 chapters of Isaiah gives us the grace that we need. Chapter 41 is the beginning, the second chapter, in the giving of grace. So much so that everything that this chapter points to, it points us to the New Testament. It points us to a Redeemer. It points us to a comforter. It points us to a Messiah. It points us to a deliverer. It points us to a savior. Have I got your neighborhood yet? It points you to a lily of the valley. It points you to a bright morning star. It points you to our waymaker. It points us to our peace in the time of storm. It points us to our shelter. It points us to our victory. It points us to our healing. It points us to... Lord, have mercy. Everything points us to Jesus. It prepares us to see Jesus. Everything that he did, giving his life, shedding his blood, was already pre-recorded in Isaiah to show us that we needed a redeemer. You can't skip grace. That's why many of us panic, because we done skipped grace. God's word to all of us today, there's no need to panic. Because I sent a Savior. I gave you my son to give his life, to shed his blood, to die on that cross, not stay dead. Hey, it was a reason to be in a panic for 3 days, y'all. 3 days, they panicked Friday night. They panicked Saturday morning. They panicked Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, there was no need to panic because my Redeemer got up. My Redeemer got up with all power in his hands. And because he got up with all power in his hands, I can make my way back home. I can get back to where I need to be. I can make it through the difficulty. I can make it through the storm because, yea, the Lord is with me. Lord, I will be with you always, even until the end of the earth. My God is awesome. Y'all just got to see it. But he knows how to take care of you. He's already been at the end before he made the beginning. All you got to do is trust him day by day. Whatever you do. Don't panic. I'm done. Whatever you do, don't panic. Don't let life trip you up. I know you're going through. I know you're feeling it. I know you're experiencing it. But don't you panic. Because God has an expiration date. He says, I'm with you. I'm your God. And God has never, y'all are parents. Those of y'all who are parents, some things you give your children, you protect your children from because you don't want the name looking bad. That's the thing about being a believer in God. God won't let you fail because of the reflection of his name. God ain't gonna let you go through too long because of the reflection of his name. God didn't redeem you for nothing. God didn't save you for nothing. Can I tell you something about these children of Israel? They had to go through generations of death. Had to go through generations of loss. But God had to elect people that he wanted to save. He had some elect people that he wanted to redeem. And you and I got the privilege this morning of being God's elect people that God's going to redeem. His elect people he's going to save. His elect people he's going to bring out. His elect people he's going to provide for. No way you can fail. Trust the Lord. Don't be discouraged because you're seeing something you ain't never seen before. Here it is. We never saw corona before. We done seen crime before that didn't move us no more. We've seen cancer that don't move us no more. We've seen sickness that don't move us no more. We've seen job loss that don't move us no more. But now God says, will you still trust me even though you're seeing something you ain't never seen before? Will you still trust me even though it's something new you ain't used to? Everybody's trying to figure out how to handle corona. The same way we handle cancer. Same way we handle debt. Same way we handle sin. Same way we handle issues. We give it to the Lord. And the Lord will surely see you through. Whatever you do, don't panic. God bless you. We offer Jesus to you now. My brother, my sister, you've been panicking. You've been in a panic. You've been worrying. Lord says, Psalm 121, the Lord never sleeps or slumbers. And now you are trying to keep him company at night because you won't rest. Up all night, tossing and turning, pacing the floor in a panic, afraid to go out, afraid to live your life.